All right, last week we talked about the Hittites. There were seven nations, Deuteronomy 7:1. Read it with me real quick and not out loud, but just follow me. Deuteronomy 7:1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Stop right there. Last week we started on the Hittites. We talked about how the Hittites means terror and fear, and we dealt with what we fight today as Christians. We deal with spirits of fear. We deal with discouragement. Quick question, how many of you have ever faced fear or discouragement, right? So we fight those things, a lot of us right here, and we talked about that last week. So there's some teaching on that already available on Cornerstone Keynotes. If you'll follow your reading this week on Cornerstone Keynotes, you'll be reintroduced to that throughout the readings, okay? I don't have time to touch on doing a whole review on that tonight. So what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about the second focus, which I've decided tonight to focus on the Amorites. It may not be in the order that is listed in verse 7, but eventually we'll get to all of them. Tonight, we want to introduce the Amorites to you, okay? Which the Amorites represent bitter and judgmental spirits. Now, this could be dealing with people who are bitter and judgmental towards you, or this could be dealing with people that invoke bitterness and judgment from you. You know, there's some people that done you wrong and they trigger you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, what the last bad thing they did, you just comes up and you get fighting mad, right? You, when you see them at Walmart, you wish you could just knock their block off. If you're with me, say amen. All right, we're talking about bitter and judgmental spirits, right? These are the kinds of things that we have to wrestle in here. We may not say a word. We may not do a deed, but we think it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, say amen. And so this represents the Amorites. So real quickly, I'm just going to skip the whole, all first four pages and go here. All right. The Amorites represent bitterness and judgmental spirits. Now, the Amorites are frequently mentioned in the Bible as one of the formidable nations that the Israelites had to confront and overcome to possess the promised land, as stated in the verse we just read. Symbolically, they represent bitterness and judgment. Okay, now, let's look at some biblical insights. Remember just a moment ago, I told you that everything God does is just, right? The world today looks at what God made or required the nation of Israel to do to those poor little old inhabitants of Canaan land and try to act like God did something unjust or unfair. But let me show you something. Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 16, where this was a prophecy of a day that God would send Israel into the promised land. All right, watch what it says. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Okay, so God's declaration, there's a couple things I want to point out here. God's declaration about the Amorites' iniquity reaching its full measure before the Israelites take possession shows a divine patience and judgment process. The mention of iniquity suggests moral failings, potentially including attitudes like bitterness and harsh judgments, which we'll see later is, in fact, the case, which could have contributed to the ultimate judgment by God. But here's the point. God's saying the Amorites are already acting a fool. And by the time you get there, their iniquity would be so full that I'll be ready to deal with them by then. And I'm going to unleash my judgment. Part of my judgment on them is you want to be driving them out. In other words, they want to get what's coming for them, and I'm going to use you as an instrument. So anytime you ever read where God hardened Pharaoh's heart and thought, well, that seems kind of unfair. Don't look like Pharaoh had much of a choice. But you don't know the conversations God and Pharaoh had before that happened.
Right.
You don't know what Pharaoh did to bring the judgment of God on him before he ever dealt with Israel. His iniquity must have already got filled up to that point. God said, all right, I'm ready to judge that. So what I'll do, you remember when Jesus told Peter, said, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you. See, if Peter's faith needed to be sifted anyway, so what Jesus decided to do, since Satan's going to try to sift him anyway, he said, I'm just going to let the devil do what the devil will do, and I'm going to put brakes on it so he don't go past a certain point. You see, God masterfully uses what the enemy meant for evil to bring about his own purposes. And so anytime you see something in the Bible that don't make sense to you, there's always more to the story than you and I know. The Bible's always right. God is always, always, always just. So remember that, okay? And so we see he mentioned the sins of the Amorites in Genesis chapter 15. Now, quickly go with me and look at Numbers chapter 21. Y'all pray for my voice, I'm telling you. I guess I've just been hard on it this week. I just about stripped the gear under that tent earlier this week. There wasn't no just about it, amen. All right, so Numbers 21, verses 21 through 31. I won't read the whole thing. I tell you what, let me just give you the context. Basically what happened, there was an outright refusal of King Sihon of the Amorites to allow Israel passage, and his subsequent attack can be seen as actions stemming from a hostile and judgmental disposition. This incident illustrates the destructive outcomes of bitterness leading to conflict rather than peaceful coexistence. And so Israel wanted to come through. The king said, nope. And then later there was a conflict. Anytime there's bitterness and a judgmental spirit, it's usually stemming from some kind of a disagreement. It's usually stemming from some kind of button of the head. Right? So the will of one person against the will of another. And they're not looking at things the same way. They're not agreeing. Anytime there's disharmony, that allows a festering of hard feelings. Next thing you know, there's a root of bitterness that takes root. Next thing you know, guess what you got? You've got a judgmental, cynical, critical attitude. Because what happens is you get so angry that you're blinded by your own insistence that you're right. Right? And when you're blinded by your belief system that you are right and they're wrong, even if you are right and they're wrong, the attitude itself blinds you from seeing everything and perceiving it in a way that helps you be Christ-like, right? And so you can develop a cynical attitude. Even if you're right, you could be going about it wrong. And so understand that you see that dynamic in the conflict. Just for sake of time, I'm sorry I made you turn there, but mark your spot, go home and read that later. Numbers 21, verses 21 through 31. I will read Joshua 10:10. Go with me to Joshua 10:10, since it's just one verse. So we're laying the groundwork for the Amorites. Joshua 10:10, and the Lord discomfited them, the Amorites, before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Betharon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. So here's the conflict where the Lord allowed them to be basically demolished, right? So as God confuses the Amorites, leading to their defeat by Israel, this, I believe, reflects the internal confusion and discord that bitterness and judgment created within that community. And their defeat could symbolize the self-destructive nature of harboring such negative spirits. It's interesting, there's a scripture in the New Testament where Jesus talked about when a man gets religious, not saved, but religious, and he cleans out his house and drives away that evil spirit. Well, because he don't fill his house up with the Holy Spirit, that evil spirit comes back and brings in seven more weaker than himself. And one of the ways that God's judgment comes on somebody is when he allows them to self-destruct. Right? It starts with spiritual blindness. it leads to a root of bitterness and a cynical spirit. And all of a sudden, they're not just harboring that, they're harboring the Hittites in their land. Now they got spirits of fear. Now they got spirits of discouragement. Now they're battling bitterness. Now they're battling a cynical spirit. And they're self-destructing, and it's getting worse and worse. And this is the part of the judgment that came upon the Amorites. Their bitterness drove them here. Right? Whatever they did that caused the judgment of God to come on them, they could have reversed it with repentance and faith. How many of you know God is always just? For some reason, the Amorites got hardened, and they chose that. They brought it on themselves. So we see that. Now, just don't turn to Judges 1:34 through 36. The Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain. This is all over in Judges. They would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Context: the Amorites forcing the tribe of Dan into the mountains, restricting their movement and growth, clearly displays, again, a spirit of dominance and exclusion, which is akin to judgmental and bitter attitudes. They just could not stand the presence. This active, and it's interesting, you see how it's progressively getting worse and worse? The ones that actually survived, that are still there, now they're even more angry, and now they're becoming a roadblock, trying to hinder and push against. This is that spirit of bitterness and that cynical attitude, right? 2 Samuel 21:2, and the king called the Gideonites and said unto them, now the Gideonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. This is 2 Samuel 21, verse 2. Here's the context of that one. The need for the Gideonites to avenge themselves on the remnants of the Amorites indicates unresolved bitterness and grievances. So that's a two-way street, isn't it? So now the Israelites are like, we gotta finish the job. Whether it's right or wrong, there has to be some bitterness there. There has to be some grievances there, which is not right. This historical note highlights how long-standing bitterness can perpetrate cycles of violence and revenge, affecting generations. Sometimes it's a generational thing. People grow up angry because their parents are always angry. People grow up bitter and mad at the world because their parents are bitter and mad at the world. Amen? So you see this all throughout the history of the relationship between the Amorites and the Jews. The question for you and I as newborn Christians, are we going to allow spirits of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, right, skew our view of other people, or are we going to learn how to submit that to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Three quick principles. I've got 2 minutes. New Testament principles to drive out the Amorites from our lives. You ready for them? All right, number one, forgiveness. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Boy, I wish I had more time. Some of these we may take 2 weeks to really dig in on, okay? If I don't have time to teach all this tonight, we may revisit this one next week. But he's talking about that root of bitterness. Don't let it spring up, because it'll trouble you and it'll defile everybody around you. All right, so what's the solution? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:31. So this passage encourages believers to let go of bitterness and harsh judgments, replacing them with forgiveness, which is essential in overcoming the Amorite-like spirits in our lives. Amen, church. Not only should we offer forgiveness, but secondly, we should cultivate a spirit of meekness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This emphasizes the power of meekness. This is the beatitude which guides believers to inherit God's promises through humility and gentleness, countering the aggressive and dominating nature of the Amorites. How about that? You can get a lot more done for God being gentle than you can being a bulldozer. Right? Sometimes we want to turn that religious spirit on and turn the bulldozer on and just gas on it. Run over everybody. Amen? And sometimes we got to kill the motor and let the Holy Ghost do the talking. Right? Man, there's so much in here. And then the third one is steadfast faith. Your scripture would be 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like me and be strong. Amen? In other words, man up, face it with faith. You know, everything that we face in life, all of our mountains, including these types of bad attitudes and mindsets, we can overcome through faith in Christ.